B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Gravy top.
Right.
Which I'll tell you what, that's not bad at all.
That does sound better.
Yeah, right? That sounds really good.
Sounds like Doug and the boys at NovaCare Complex coming up with it after a basement session.
Yeah. Now, and I'm Jim Schwartz. I'm like, can we just have the turkey, guys? Can we just have the turkey, please?
Why do we have to make this complicated?
Now, I know. I'll say this. I'm getting some the flack from the Italian-Americans that say, you know, they'll have spaghetti on Thanksgiving, which I've never had an issue with.
Oh, we have spaghetti.
Okay. Yeah. See, but for me, growing up, Thanksgiving was always with the Polish side of the family.
Oh, okay.
So there was never spaghetti.
Yeah, see, ever since I've been in this family, it's the, you get the meatballs, the sausage, the spaghetti, the stuffed shells, all of that stuff before the turkey.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was never an issue. I think one of my cousins does like a big lasagna, which is understandable. Very filling.
Sure.
But I don't know if I can make a pizza on Thanksgiving. Another thing is to share a kitchen with like 14 other people trying to make a pizza.
Just give me my bird. That's how you need to say, Mark.
Thank you very much.
I want my bird.
You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WP and Burlington Philadelphia broadcast. I'll keep you posted on the developments of this story as we get closer and closer to Thanksgiving. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WP and Burlington Philadelphia broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Now on the line with us, he does a phenomenal job. One of my favorite analysts out there right now from the NFL Network, Sean O'Hara. Like I said, NFL Network analyst. You can also follow him on Twitter at Sean O'Hara 60. That's Sean S-H-A-U-N. Sean O'Hara 60. Also, Thursday Night Football continues this week with Steelers Browns on Fox, NFL Network, and Amazon Prime Video. Without further ado, Sean O'Hara. Sean, great to have you on, man. Thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, top of the morning to you. I appreciate the love. Now I got to live up to it, man.
No, in all seriousness, you do a great job, man.
I appreciate it. Everybody needs a hype man, and listen, it's an honor to be on and be chatting with my man Trey.
Yeah,
used to watch a lot of film on my man putting people in body bags, throwing people out of the club for wearing jeans, all that good stuff. So from one old lineman to another, man, I appreciate you and loved watching you play.
Thank you. Let's talk some offensive line right now because the Eagles just rewarded the best right guard in football, Brandon Brooks, with a fine new deal. What do you make of Brandon Brooks? Not only just his year as just a football player in an isolated season like this, but coming back from that injury factory in to get back to not only the level of play that we're used to seeing him at, but even surpassing that.
Yeah, Brandon Brooks has been a great story. I've gotten to know him over the last couple of years. Obviously, he was very open with some of the things that he's been dealing with personally, dealing with some anxiety issues too. So, you know, just a really easy guy to root for when you see the things and hear about the things he's overcome. But he's been one of the best guards in football. So it's not just about this year. I mean, last year he was the best right guard in football. I don't think he gave up a sack the entire year last year until week 16, you know, and it was just some scrub. So, you know, that's nothing worse than that. It was a garbage sack. I don't think he's given up a sack this year as well. So, listen, he's been doing it. He's been doing it well. To go LL Cool J on you, and I think he's got a sweet backseat of my Jeep now with that with that contract. I think it's great for Brandon Brooks to get paid, but I think also, you know, I appreciate Howie Roseman. When you have a player that's the best at what he does, and you reward him with that, there's a trickle down effect throughout the locker room, throughout the team. That, hey, look, we're going to take care of our own. And I think as a player, that means a lot. And I know the money and the contract is unbelievable and it's great, but just the indirect message of that, that we're going to take care of one of the guys who, as you mentioned, tore his Achilles last year and came back in 6 months, I think, he was back out on the field. You know, I think it's a great message to send to your entire team.
Speaking with Sean O'Hara of the NFL Network, looking down that offensive line, Jason Peters has missed the last three games. He hasn't started, at least, with a knee injury now. So Andre Diller's been getting the starts there the last 3 weeks at left tackle, their first-round pick from this past draft. Are you expecting Jason Peters back, or do you think they'll kind of be patient with him and maybe have him come back towards the end of the season?
Well, I think the way that Andre Diller's been playing, you don't have to rush him back, which is kind of a luxury. You know, I think obviously mentally I kind of go back to 2 years ago when JP was out and Halapaluli Vaitai stepped in and basically, you know, played the whole season. They won the Super Bowl with Vaitai. So you know, I think Dillard has done a really good job. He's shown his athleticism. You know, the two things I had questions him coming out was, you know, how was he going to be in the run game? Because they didn't do it a lot when he was in college. And then number two, just, you know, what kind of dog is he? You know, I mean, is he a finesse guy? Is he a basketball player? Is he just boxing people out? So I've been pleasantly surprised with just kind of his ability to finish. You know, I'm sure Trey has broken down the film on him as well. My big thing with him right now is that he's just carrying his hands too low.
Yeah.
And I think, you got to be a boxer. You can't be a gunslinger. One of my former O-line coaches, Pat Flaherty, used to say it all the time.
Yeah,
his hands are down low, and he's shooting from down underneath. He's losing all his power.
Exactly. He's catching too much when he has the power rush.
Yeah, and that's what's getting him in trouble. I mean, he's so athletic, but you see him get beat by the spin move or that second move, and it's because he's catching, like you're saying, he's not punching. So he'll get better with that. I think that comes with confidence. And, you know, I think that, you know, when you look at the fact that the Eagles were able to slide up into the first round, I mean, they didn't have a first-round pick. Be able to slide up and steal him just before the Texans, I think it's going to end up paying dividends over these next few years.
Sean, with the lack of production from the Eagles wide receivers, we've been calling for more of a running game, as Jordan Howard has proven to be a really, really good runner in this offense. My question to you is, can teams win and go far in the playoffs being a run-first offense in this pass-happy league?
Yeah, I think you can. You know, and I think Zach Ertz kind of makes up for some of that lack of production. You know, I think Alshon Jeffrey leads the team right now, and what's he got, 353 yards. You know, those numbers seem very low.
Yeah.
When you think about how many games they've played, but I think this offense over these last couple of weeks has really started to look like the Eagles' offense that 2 years ago won the Super Bowl. When it was LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi, they had that thunder and lightning 1-2 punch. And now with Jordan Howard finishing runs and just punishing people, I mean, up in Buffalo, I mean, he was on a mission to end a couple of safeties' careers. And then to see him run through his former team a couple weeks ago in Chicago with the Bears, you know, I mean, he looks like a man possessed right now. So that's a dangerous guy. Nobody wants to tackle him right now. And then with Miles Sanders, I think they've got that explosive running game that helps open up other things. And I think, you know, Sean Jackson, you know, going on IR definitely changes the way that people are going to defend you now. You know, maybe they can play a little more single high safety. I think Alshon Jeffery, if he catches the football, you know, which I think he's spent the whole bye week probably beating himself up about the fact that he can't believe he had three drops in that Bears game. I think you've got to have a motivated guy. And listen, I think Nelson Aguilar is still one of the most dangerous slot receivers in the game right now. You know, when he's on point, man, he's a tough out.
I got to follow up right there. Speaking with Sean O'Hara, the NFL Network, he has put all our brains in a pretzel so far this year because the drops are a consistent problem. Not being able to track the ball is a consistent problem for him. What do you think could help a guy like him snap out of it?
You're talking about Aguilar.
I'm not too worried about, but Nelson Aguilar, because we've seen this same problem before. 2017 was the exception. We saw it rear its ugly head again last year, and now with a lack of options at the wide receiver position for Carson Wentz, Aguilar has had opportunities to make some big plays and come up small.
Yeah, it's a big opportunity for him, and, you know, I know he's kind of had that Featherstone moniker, you know, throughout his career, and, you know, look, it's just a concentration thing. You know, I think, you know, anytime as a player, when you've got something that keeps showing up week in and week out, you shouldn't leave the field until you've got to figure it out. You shouldn't leave the field until you catch 100 balls. And you know what? If you got to start catching them one-handed, do it. Whatever you got to do. You know, he's too talented of a player to let that be, you know, his legacy. And you know, I think you've seen them kind of get him involved early. You know, they're doing a lot of jet sweeps, kind of using them pre-snap to kind of draw some attention. And you know, I think they're trying to get him involved early on in the game because I think he's one of those streaky receivers. You get him going early, and his confidence is boosted. All of a sudden, he becomes a menace to defenses. So I think that's kind of the way that you can kind of utilize him.
Well, with New England getting ready to come in town, you know, with them not being – they're obviously not the same offense that we're used to seeing from them. What are you seeing from New England coming into Philadelphia?
Yeah, it's been interesting to look at how good the Patriots defense has been and all the attention has been there, but yet offensively they've been grasping at straws. I mean, they signed Antonio Brown because they needed wide receiver production that bad that they were going to take that individual. I'll refrain from saying what I really want to say, but they reach for that. Then they trade for Mohamed Sanu. You know, this is a team that's undefeated, had the number one defense in the league at the time, and yet they're still trying to add production to their offense, which makes you kind of think, you know what, Bill knows that his offense isn't that good. And, you know, looking at their passing game, it really hasn't been. You know, Julian Edelman seems to still be their go-to guy. He's kind of had a tough year. He's had a few drops and a couple of rough fumbles. But I think really it starts up front. And I think that they have been winning games in spite of their left tackle, Marshall Newhouse, a guy that I really like a lot. He's a great guy. He's kind of been a journeyman, but he's been thrust into that left tackle position. And I think their whole mission on offense has been, how do we make up for that? Because Tom Brady can't sit back in 5 and 7 step max protections with that offensive line and with what's going on. So I still think they're trying to figure out who they are. They are not an offense right now that can come from behind. We saw it against Baltimore. When they get down early and all of a sudden they've got to throw the football, they're in trouble.
Speaking with Sean O'Hara, like the city of Philadelphia, Sean, you have something in common. You too have once beaten Tom Brady in a Super Bowl. Do you think Tom Brady is still losing sleep over at least that first loss to the Giants?
I'm sure he's got plenty of other things going for in his life, but I'm sure when he's all said and done, he's going to look back and say, man, you know, if it wasn't for the NFC East, you know, he would be in the same conversation as Yogi Berra, who won 10 world championships. But I know that Tom is probably one of the most positive people on the planet. So he doesn't dwell on things. He's always moving forward. And, you know, when somebody's mission in life is all about pliability, I don't think he's going to get stuck on anything.
Do you have a loss that you think about post-career?
Absolutely.
What's one that keeps coming back?
Losing to the Eagles in the divisional round of playoffs in 2008. You know, people talk about, and they always ask me about our 2007 team that won the Super Bowl. We were a better team in 2008, and we didn't get it done.
Bad matchup. I remember that game. It was a bad matchup for you guys at the time.
Yeah, we had a numbnuts put a hot one through his leg half, you know, after week 11, and you know, that kind of thwarted our offense a little bit. But I remember. I remember talking to B. Dawkins, you know, a couple of years ago, and, you know, we were just kind of reliving that season. And he said, look, when Plaxico was no longer there, you know, we defended you differently. We felt like we could come down and commit to the run, and we weren't scared of deep ball. We felt like we could handle your other receivers one-on-one. So that really freed him up, and that's exactly what happened in that game.
That's incredible.
That's great.
See, Sean, you question why I think you're awesome? You're awesome, man. last one for you. Carson Wentz, we're trying to figure out what we have here. If we have an elite quarterback that's an MVP candidate like he was in 2017, or if we have a guy that's going to struggle if he doesn't have someone to really rely on his wide receiving core, what do you make of Carson Wentz so far as a quarterback?
Well, I think he's a phenomenally talented quarterback. I don't think people appreciate his accuracy and his ability to make some tough throws from the pocket. You know, look, that's what Nick Foles did when he came in and how he was able to do it in the postseason and win in the Super Bowl. That was all from the pocket, and it was big throws. So if you got a quarterback that could hang in there and deliver the ball and hit your guys on target, on stride, and that's the name of the game. And so I like Carson Wentz. I think he's got a great attitude. I think he's a team-first guy. He's somebody that, you know, anybody would love to build their franchise around. And to be honest with you, look, he can win a Super Bowl without wide receivers, you know, catching 10 footballs and 150 yards because Zach Ertz has been a nightmare matchup. And I think his relationship with Ertz, especially in the red zone, has been phenomenal. I mean, Zach sets guys up. I mean, I haven't seen a crossover down to Philly like that since AI was down there destroying people. When Ertz is one-on-one with a safety and he gets them to turn and flip their hips, it's a wrap. And I think he and Wentz still have a great relationship, and I think they can overcome any deficiencies they have at wide receiver.
All right, Sean, that was the last football question for you. Sean O'Hara joining us from the NFL Network. A personal thing I got to get into with you is that my wife and her family want to have pizza for Thanksgiving instead of turkey. What's your ruling there?
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
There's your answer.
No, here's the deal. My wife's family's from Cleveland. So if Sean O'Hara says no pizza on Thanksgiving, I think I win this argument. Thank you, Sean O'Hara.
I don't think you can't do pizza on Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You
could do pizza any day of the week. Mm-hmm. And you know what? To be honest with you, look, sometimes I'm not feeling the turkey either. You know, like, especially if you don't know who's cooking it, it could end up being dry.
That's a good point.
My substitute is a ham. You go with the ham. It's never dry. It's always great. Plus, it makes a great sandwich the next day, which is the best part of Thanksgiving. Nobody wants cold pizza on a Friday. Yeah, that doesn't sound right. And the other thing, too, is, you know, I'm not opening up a nice bottle of wine on Thanksgiving to wash it down with pizza.
Good point. Yeah, Sean O'Hara, you have nothing but brilliance, my friend. You have nothing but brilliance. I really appreciate you coming on with us. And you also just, you know, I think saved my marriage also. So thank you very much.
All right. Good luck with that.
Thanks, Sean.
Sean O'Hara, NFL Network. Thank you so much. NFL Network with Thursday Night Football continues this week. Steelers-Browns on Fox, NFL Network, and Amazon Prime. Sean O'Hara, NFL Network analyst. Follow him on Twitter, at Sean O'Hara 60. That man right there is a hero. It is fantastic. And
Numbnuts?
That was a hot...
That was awesome.
That was... Like, at first, I didn't even think of Burris shooting his leg. I was like, wait, did somebody let a pass go through his legs or somebody jump? And I was like, oh, no, Plaxico.
He's talking about Plaxico shooting himself in the leg.
That's what happened.
Numbnuts put one halfway through his legs. That's exactly how he said
I
that.
I knew we always made Plaxico jokes. It's nice to hear one
that's
of his teammates
awesome.
Do it. I mean, putting a gun in your waistband.
And going to
not just a gun, a Glock.
Those are dangerous.
Not a good move.
They don't have the safety is on the trigger.
That's a bad spot for a safety.
Yeah. So there you go.
Numbnuts put a hot one through his leg.
Yeah.
Numbnuts in this case was Plaxico Burress.
I love it.
Yeah, that was good.
That was great.
And by the way, he's dead on accurate about the 2008 Eagles, Trey.
Mm.
That was the worst matchup they could have faced because they wanted nothing to do with the Eagles. If I remember correctly, it was another typical season for the Giants where they got hot at the right time. You guys got hot at the right time as well. Made it into the playoffs. I want to say you had a tie that year.
Yeah. Tie in Baltimore?
Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Right. That's when Donovan didn't know there was a tie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what happens.
Yeah.
All right. It's terrible.
And you left the field with the lead, I believe, in Arizona.
Hold on. Did you know a game could end in a tie?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just making sure. That's just making sure.
Yeah.
Just so did every 12-year-old that played Madden once in their life. They knew it even at the time.
No.
Well, okay. Don't you pick on five?
He's
in the Philly Hall of Fame.
We're picking on Trey's coach and quarterback today.
That we really are. Because if you've been listening to the show, Andy Reid is trash and Doug Peterson is better than Vince Lombardi. So I just want to make sure everyone's got that right. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
So there we go. 610-632-0975. Real quick. Now, this is Brett Brown last night. This is what the Sixers won. And good, they won, but people are feeling like it was a loss today. A lot of negative attention surrounding those Sixers, despite Ben Simmons trying to fight his way back into this game, which he did. 15-point performance, 4 turnovers for the Sixers point guard, playing hurt. Do we not ask sometimes, Trey, for our basketball players to try to, you know, tough it out for some injuries?
Yeah, push through it.
Damn right we do.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Simmons did that. Gutsy performance, was it not, Bob?
It was gutsy.
Gutsy performance. But the turnover issue was not nearly as big last night as it's been in other games. Yet against the Cavaliers, you would expect something more than a 1-point victory. All right, maybe a little bit better of an offensive output, especially from Tobias Harris, who was 0 for 11 from 3, worst in franchise history. So let's listen to Brett Brown about what was really the big downfall of the Sixers, and what he focused in on his post-game press conference was those turnovers.
It is a blowtorch. Yeah, it is. It is violent. It's a really big one. You know, like you're just watching the game unfold, and you can't make some of that up. And you know, I'm the coach, and so I got to figure it out. But some of those turnovers certainly were head scratching. I do give our guys credit for not crumbling. I think that we knew if we had to do anything, we better play defense, and defense we played. I liked the way that we defended.
The Sixers right now in the NBA, 10 games into the season, are having the same turnover issues that they've had last year, the year before that, the year before that, the year before that, keep on going. It's always a problem with this Sixers team. It's something that either Brett Brown has to coach differently, he has to do something where they can protect the basketball a little bit better, not be as lackadaisical with it as well.
what can he do to prevent these turnovers? Because now, as of right now, they're only 1/10 of a turnover away from being tied, a three-way tie, for most turnovers in the NBA, about 18. They're at 17.6, I believe, right now,
right,
for the NBA. That's like the worst. What can they do differently to not turn that ball over? Because I'm tired about, oh, young team learning to develop and all that stuff. Weren't as good of players as other teams have had, obviously. So you're going to have those turnovers. To me, this is not that young team anymore. You have an all-star point guard. You shouldn't have you have an all-star center, an MVP candidate center. You shouldn't have those turnovers.
Yeah, Brett alluded to it the other night where he said live ball turnovers he can kind of live with. You know, that's maybe a fast break, a pass gets picked, whatever it may be, a hard dribble down the court getting stripped. He can live with those. What he can't live with is when the ball goes into a 7-2 center and he's holding it and weak side help comes and he acts like he's never seen it before and boom, he gets stripped of the ball. Mm. Or he's putting it on the floor and trying to do stuff with the ball that he shouldn't be trying to do. I think those are the types of things that really get Brett Brown upset. To me, it's more of the half-court offense. Once you're in that, you really have to protect the ball better. They don't do a good job of doing that.
Absolutely. Let's get to Dante, our man Dante in the Northeast. What's up, Dante?
What's up, fellas? Good morning, everybody.
What's
good
up,
morning? So, all right. So, after watching last night's game, well, after watching like the previous three, four, six games, I can't blame our players for losing to Denver after blowing that humongous lead. I can't do it. I'm putting the blame on Brett Brown, man. I think that he has the key to this whole thing that can spark the entire season, but he wants to do this whole freaking, experiment. Like, I think Matisse Thybulle was the key to this whole team turning it up on and off the entire season.
Really? You go heavy Matisse early. Why is that? And don't get me wrong, I love Matisse Thybulle, but go ahead. Why do you think that?
I'm going to give you an instance for yesterday, right?
Go for it.
Matisse Thybulle didn't come into the game until about maybe 3 minutes left in the first quarter.
Okay.
I believe they were down 15-17. What happened right after that?
He got
19-4
a
run.
He got a steal and a block. They went right on the run. Mm-hmm. Basketball is a game of basketball runs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game of runs.
Of course it is.
As soon as he got to the game, he sparked the runs. We finished that first quarter on a bit of a positive note.
Uh-huh.
What happened came the second quarter. He's not in the game. He's playing here and there. You go down in a half, not on a positive note. I think they were trailing going into halftime.
Yeah, I think they were trailing a point going into halftime.
I personally believe that T5 was the key to this whole entire thing.
Look, he would be somebody. You're Dante, thanks for the comment. You're right. I think he's going to be a big piece to the puzzle going forward. I think Brett had him in timeout, basically, for about three or four games in a row when he had, I think it was like 9 fouls or whatever it was throughout those games.
He was averaging, real quick, he was averaging, you know how they love to do the per 36 minutes.
Right.
He was averaging 7 fouls per 36 minutes.
You know what's funny about that? You can't foul 7 times in a game.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't care.
It's kooky.
But I agree. I understand what you're saying, and I know that's what they follow. But I think the guy can have a big impact on the game, and he's only going to get better if you have him playing out there, not if you're having him in timeout. And I know that you also want to jockey the lineup a little bit and see who's working for you. Ben missed some time, so you're going to try some other guys at point guard, giving some other guys an opportunity to be out there on the floor. That shouldn't be taking away from Matisse Thybulle, but when you turn everything around and mix and match, you're trying to see who else you can get out there. I think it just came down to the foul trouble that he was in. And that's unfortunate because I want to see what else he can do. He's only going to learn by playing.
Sure.
And if he's a good enough player to earn minutes, give him those minutes. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll get an update on our Twitter poll. We'll give away some Temple tickets. Also tell you about, by the way, the Fanatic Pro Shop has arrived just in time for the holiday gift shopping season. The Fanatic Pro Shop at 975, thefanatic.com. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports themed merchandise and apparel. You know, maybe for our Twitch audience, we should be modeling some of this. Right? That's not just a thought. Just a thought. Thinking out loud.
I like free clothes.
Thinking out loud. No, we'd have to give them back. No, 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 9:23.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5, The Fanatic.
I can't get over that. Sean O'Hara telling us Numbnuts put one through his legs. The Numbnuts was Plaxico Burress. The one through his legs was a bullet. Do you remember that game, Trey?
No.
08, you guys were on your way to play the Cardinals, pretty much in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I flew out to that game. That was fun.
And you know why you don't remember that game, Trey?
Why?
Because you won.
Yeah.
If you would have lost that game, it would have been
I remember us losing to Arizona.
I remember that, too.
I remember Kevin Curtis getting tackled with no pass interference called. But whatever. I also remember.
Wait, when we left the field, we had the lead.
Cardinals fans were mean to me leaving that stadium.
They were mean to you?
Yeah, they were actually quite rude.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Did
you have an Eagles shirt on or something?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, you weren't working? You were there as
a
fan?
I was there in the state. So Mark and I were working the Super Bowl that year for NBC, and I have a lot of family out in Scottsdale. So I was like, all right, this is a cheap way for me to see the NFC Championship game and Super Bowl. Because I was convinced that it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work
out. No, it didn't work out, unfortunately.
But I worked that Super Bowl and cried.
I remember people looking up flights to see if they could make
Super
it
Bowl.
Out there. Yeah, the Super Bowl itself was incredible. Yeah. Antonio Holmes corner of the end zone touchdown.
I was out on the field for the coin toss of that one.
Larry Fitzgerald. I almost said Larry Holmes. Wow. Larry Fitzgerald, huge touchdown in that one.
Uh-huh.
Rodney Harrison.
Antonio Holmes with the ridiculous catches.
Yeah, man.
That was an awesome Super Bowl.
The winner.
Just wasn't the Eagles.
No, unfortunately. Should have been all Pennsylvania Super Bowl.
Should have been.
Should have, could have. Woulda.
Trey did enough to lead us there. It's the other people who were a little incompetent in the green and white that day. You don't remember.
No.
Speaking of Super Bowls, I think we need to hear it one more time as to whether or not Bill Belichick getting ready for this Eagles game on Sunday. We'll be watching Super Bowl 52 to try to get anything out of it. And so he was asked by the Philadelphia media yesterday during his conference call with the Assemble Philly media, of all the film he watches, is he going to rewatch Super Bowl 52 to try to, you know, get something out of that film? Here it is.
Bill, did you go back and look at that tape at all from the Super Bowl as a resource for this week?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of film on the Eagles.
But that Super Bowl game in particular.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of film on the Eagles.
It really doesn't get old.
Did you not hear me? The follow-up question should have been, was some of the film you've watched on the Eagles illegal?
Ooh.
What did the film of their practice look like leading up to the Super Bowl there, Billy Boy?
Now, that would have been trolling. I said earlier, it sounded like the reporter, like the follow-up question was like, yeah, did you watch it again, Bill? Rub your face in it, Bill?
It's such a strange question. Like, if I was standing next to whoever, and I don't know what their purpose was, but isn't that a strange question? Like, what are you hoping to glean out of that? Like, of course he's not watching that film to prepare for this game.
I don't put it past him a little bit.
Oh, yeah, but
again, he reads a book from like 1923.
I don't know.
On different plays to run. He had an offensive lineman report as ineligible.
Yeah, but you're not. Are you really getting anything out of a team that you played 2 years ago where the parts have changed dramatically?
He's getting his team fired up.
Yeah.
This is a guy that also read the parade.
I guess it's a legitimate question.
Actually, did you know this, Trey? Before the Super Bowl that you played the Patriots in, Bill Belichick read the parade route
that
Philadelphia had designed, had drawn up, had they won the Super Bowl. Which, by the way, I think every city does, just so that they're ready for it, right? He read them the parade route. Like naming the streets.
There's video out there of it.
Yeah, it's insane. It's absolutely nuts. Like, I don't put anything past this guy trying to motivate his team or just trying to learn, regardless of how many times he may have faced the head coach and where he faced him and how long ago he faced him.
My favorite Bill Belichick thing was, and Jamie and I remember talked about this a couple years ago, is he puts the temperature up right by the entrance to the field at Foxborough when the opposing team is walking onto the field when it's a really, really cold day. 12. Like, the last thing they see before they get on the field is the temperature.
No, that is, that's nuts, man. So, anyway, some fun with Bill Belichick right there. Another thing is, tonight, it's a big night. First, we'll talk about the 76ers. So, if you're looking for something to tune into tonight, Sixers are playing a back-to-back. We'll see if Joel Embiid ends up playing tonight on the back-to-back. Tobias Harris feeling a little sickly, as Brett Brown told us before, after the game last night.
Has a black lung.
I was sick too after 0 for 11.
By the way, just on another note, just got a text from our buddy Zach Berman.
Yeah,
he said just per our conversation here, Eagles coaches watched the Super Bowl tape last week.
Ooh,
yeah, I saw that.
Thank you, Zach Berman of the Athletic, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice little nugget.
I also wonder if
Eagles watched it 75 times.
I don't doubt it. And I think every time he watches it, he goes, Nick freaking Foles.
Yeah. There's no way he's not obsessing over that game.
Here's the bigger question. Do you think he's gotten in Tom Brady's face this week over not catching that football? I bet you he has. I bet she's called him over. Hey, Tommy, TB12, LB, that
Nick,
one.
Nick Foles caught it, Tom. if Belichick has any balls, he'll run that play again.
Yeah.
Run Philly. Now, that would be great gamesmanship.
That would be cool.
No, but here's the counter to that. Carson Wentz runs Philly special.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just curious. If they did run Philly special and Carson dropped the ball, did we just implode as a city?
The city just did. It just falls through to China.
I think we just take the week off. I think we actually just take the rest of the month off. Actually, see you in January, people.
Yeah.
See you in January.
Shut it down.
Carson wouldn't want to run that play because that's one of those Foles plays.
That's one of them Foles plays.
Uh-huh.
He's a team player. He wouldn't call it for himself.
No, not at all. Not Carson.
Give me the ball. I shouldn't even bring it up, but I mean, we would explode as a city. Let's get Pat and Blackwood up here. What's up, Pat?
Hey, hi, guys. Hey, great job on the show.
Thanks, Pat.
Listen, I'm calling about, I can't stand it anymore. I've been a Sixer fan back when they were the Warriors, when Chamberlain was there. I've seen all the great ones. I've seen enough basketball. I think I know a little bit about it. They're never going to win a championship, and there's four really good reasons. One, their coach, I don't know what he's done. I don't know what he's coaching, but he blows more games with his substitutions than anybody ever seen in my life. That's number one.
All right.
Number two, they're talking about last night. He's talking about, well, they got a fire blower on him or whatever you want to call it. He said he's burning up with the turnovers.
Yes.
I coach has got to do that. No kidding, Brett. You've been there for 3 years with these guys.
Blowtorch.
Yeah, blowtorch. Well, it's a NASA rocket really by now because the same guys. I mean, Ben Simmons will go out and he'll do. Everybody's worrying about him shooting. Ben will go out and get 18 points, 10 assists. Great, Ben. But then you turn the ball over 8 times, which doesn't really help the team that much either.
Uh-huh.
He has to be. Somebody's got to sit these guys down. They need a coach, one, who has a good X and O's. Two, who can command some thing respect in that locker room. Because Embiid and Simmons are doing the same things. Great potential.
Right.
Potential, but you don't win championships with potential.
Pat, what's 3 and 4? You've given me coaching and turnovers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the fourth one is, and I think Elton Brand's done a great job. They still need a sniper, too. They need a guy out there that can come off the bench and really put it in. I mean, they lost J.J. Redick. I don't know what he's doing this year. Everybody said he's doing lousy.
Yeah, he's not doing well with the Pelicans.
Yeah, with the Pelicans.
And Furkan Korkmaz has actually looked pretty good from three.
Yes,
and that's a guy that Brett Brown's actually been coaching up.
Now, yes, and I agree with that. He's done a good job with that. But it's the same, it's the same thing like when Andy Reid was here. I got to do a better job. Well, yes, you do.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Oh, no. I think Brett Brown would even agree. And that's why he said he's the coach. He has to coach him up. But I got two reasons from you. And thanks for the call. Coaching and turnovers.
But he also put the turnovers on the coaching. So
right. But I will say this.
Pat had a couple things.
I'll say this. But the turnovers, I also look at players because it's not like Brett Brown is physically handing the ball to the other team.
Right.
True, pace of play is something the coach can control and tell him slow it down. But it really, ultimately, it's going to be up to a player's read. And I heard you talking about it in the 5 o'clock hour, Bob. It's about free range. It's about the freedom those players have.
Yeah,
should Brett give them as much freedom as he has?
And he's come out and said it. Look, I'm not that coach that's going to tell them every time down the floor what to run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's up to them. And that freestyle that they have is going to lead to turnovers. He's readily admitted that.
The big thing for me is I don't understand how Brett can look at Tobias Harris and say, I need him to be a 6'8 J.J. Redick.
Yeah,
I think
that sends
an awful message. Because Tobias Harris can do more for you on the floor throughout the pace of a game than J.J. Redick can. I don't want to limit Tobias Harris's game to what J.J. Redick's game was. I don't need Tobias Harris running figure eights, trying to create his own shot, dribble high, handoffs, and all that stuff. But that's J.J. Redick's game. Tobias Harris can play defense, and he can also rebound for you. I don't want to isolate him to just J.J. Redick's play.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to. If you look at the way teams defend the Sixers, threes are wide open. Yeah. So it's not like he has to really work to get open for three, even though he's probably the Sixers' best outside shooter. It's that they're going to be there. And as I said earlier, it's hard to coach against a box that won't move. And that's basically what other teams are doing. They're throwing up a box that won't move. You can't get defenses moving around and exploiting their movement with your offense when they're not moving. Mm. Basically, it's, hey, there's open jump shots and the middle's clogged.
So the J.J. Redick comment definitely rubbed me the wrong way before the game. Then Tobias Harris goes 0 for 11. So was Brett telling him, to hell with that, keep shooting? Because it's one thing that I'll always disagree with in the old adage of basketball. Shooters just keep on shooting. The next one's going in. I don't believe that. Like, I know that there's some shooters that you could say that about, right? Some guys you want to keep shooting. Tobias Harris is not one of them. If you're 0 for 11, if you're 0 for 5, start considering other ways to get to the basket.
Yeah, if Tobias Harris is 0 for 11 inside of 15, fine, keep shooting, but not outside of the three-point line.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing is the team does respect Brett. I saw that starting to come out more last night with this. Look, he got them playing hard in that first round of the playoffs last year against the Nets. He went in there and everybody, even Jimmy Butler gave him credit and said that he called us all out and he every name in the book and whatever, he wasn't happy. And then they came out and they responded. If they don't respect that guy, they're not responding the way that they did. And I'm not about to say 10 games into this season with, again, a new team, and that's not an excuse, that's just what is, that they're not responding to their head coach. They did win that game, and Brett did draw up the play that did end up winning them that game. So I'm not going to say they're not responding to their head coach. 610-632-0975. You know what? Going to this break, ladies and gentlemen, how would you like some Temple tickets? Be the fifth caller. That's right. Be the fifth caller to 215-263-0975. That's 215-263-0975. And you'll win Temple football tickets as they battle Tulane on Saturday, November 16th. So this Saturday at noon at Lincoln Financial Field. Sponsored by Vantage. Bring a canned food item to the game and save $5 on tickets. Visit DallasTix.com. Be the fifth caller to 215-263-0975 and you'll win those Temple tickets. Time of the Fanatic is 9:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
9 o'clock hour brought to you by the Baxter Dumpster and a Bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. Big night tonight. We started to get into it. We talked about the Sixers going to visit Orlando and Markelle Fultz in that starting lineup. Oh, all the people will be watching.
He's still shooting more than Ben Simmons.
9 points per game, I believe he's at right now.
Yeah, I think he's getting like 24 minutes a night.
Hey, look at this guy.
Who's he covering tonight?
I would imagine Richardson, right?
Yeah, I think that would be the matchup for him.
I would love if he covered Ben. I would run a clear out right into him, buddy.
Ben, you're gonna be our power forward tonight. You go
get
down
that shoulder. See how it feels.
Exactly.
No, I shouldn't say nothing against Markelle Fultz.
Yeah. Wow, Bob.
Yeah, that shoulders,
Bobby.
Yeah, the shoulder to shoulder,
shoulder to shoulder,
shoulder to shoulder on a night like tonight. But also, let's not forget about those Flyers. Orange and black, playoff bound Flyers, big test against the Caps tonight.
Rivalry night
in the NHL. And Carter Hart getting the start in net tonight. Big test for the young man. Exactly. Hey, stand tall. And what did Alain Vigneault tell us yesterday? What did he tell us yesterday, by the way, Jamie? Because I asked him, I said, hey, can we count on some Flyers playoffs? Haven't seen that in a while there, Alain Vigneault.
Oh no, we're getting in the playoffs. We're a playoff team. There's no doubt in my mind. And you know, once you're in, everything's possible.
Bang! Anything's possible. You know what else? I think that's also. I think that's kind of a guarantee they're going to want to stay in the cup. I don't know. That's what I heard.
There's no doubt.
There's what?
There's no doubt. There's no doubt that they're going to make the playoffs.
Very good point. Ladies and gentlemen, do we have our winner of the Temple tickets? Do we have that handy by chance, Sam?
Yes, his name was Daniel Boyle.
Daniel Boyle. Good old Dan Boyle. Great guy. Congratulations, you won the Temple tickets to go see Temple take on Tulane on Saturday. That's this Saturday at noon at Lincoln Financial Field, sponsored by Vantage. Sam, go and give us a final on our Twitter poll.
Our Twitter poll was brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, are you encouraged by the Sixers' start to the season? We had just under 2,200 votes. 53% said no, they are not.
53% say no. The majority rule, Bob. Not encouraged by a 7-3 start to the season. And I'm telling you, it's because of lingering issues. Lingering issues.
Yep. And the biggest lingerer of those issues would be that Joel Embiid.
That would be JoJo and not looking in shape.
Man, I'm trying to be dumb there.
People worried.
Try harder.
He's worried. People are worried.
The wife for his f***ing son.
Hey, I had no bit. All right, so anyway.
I'm an idiot.
A lot of credit, though. Now, Ben Simmons, obviously, the little turnaround jumper last night looked pretty, but people still worry he's not using it enough. I do have to tell you about the Fanatic Deal of the Week. Enjoy one flatbread, one appetizer, two entrees, and two desserts for only $49 at Harvest Season Grill and Wine Bar. Purchase this experience now through Sunday, November 17th. That's this Sunday at 975thefanatic.com. Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is Mark Farzetta hates Michael Jordan.
Wow.
Good one.
Thank you.
Now, I can't correct you.
She went pirate.
Because he's one in the same. I make him walk the
plank. I got that, Mark Farzetto.
Nah, scurvy. Anyway, so I hate the owner, Michael Jordan, to clarify.
Correct.
I think the owner, Michael
but
Jordan.
But it sounds better when you don't clarify.
Correct. See, Sam, what you just did there, that was a hot take.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I won't give all the details. I'll just give the details that support my own personal opinion.
What it do, baby?
Jamie does. I don't know. That leads me to my takeaway of the day, Bob. One, Sam needs to watch Office Space. I think we can all agree.
Yeah, what the hell, Sam?
I know.
Sam, work on that, Sam.
Yeah.
Two,
Sam, be a better you, okay?
I think Bob was getting into the Thanksgiving wine a little early today, saying he'd take Andy Reid over Doug Peterson. My turn?
Bob, I think we'll skip you today. No, I'm just kidding. Bob, what do you got today? Take away that.
Much like Sean O'Hare calling Plaxico Burress nun nuts, Jamie, your thought that Doug Peterson starting a team as your head coach over Andy Reid certainly qualifies you as a numb nuts.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
Trey. What's up?
Hey, happy hump day. Let's go Sixers and Flyers.
There we go. My takeaway of the day is the overwhelming support, not only from Sean O'Hara, not only from Trey Thomas, but also from the Twitch audience here, twitch.tv, and Twitter, calling my wife and her family complete psychopaths for wanting to go the route of making pizzas on Thanksgiving.
I had one person send me a message said that they reported your in-laws for being terrorists. Not my words.
Do I know this person that reached out to you?
No, I don't believe so.
They're now my new best friend. thanks for listening, everybody. Let's go Flyers. Let's go Sixers tonight. Stay tuned for Anthony Gargano's Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.